bad mood, good mood, crazy marriage stories, male and female stalkers, politicians and their kids, hilarious family brawls, cops running fake lie detector tests, all kinds of shenanigans. Want to turn your bad mood into a good mood? Check out the hardback, the e-version, or the Amazon Kindle version, or even the audiobook version. It's all available on Amazon or at badmoodgoodmood.com.
You've seen the hunger, the hustle, the victories, and the defeats. But one thing you'll never see, this team backing down. It's time to rise up, be a part of the uprising on the Fighting Illini Sports Network, powered by Learfield.
Thursday night, the Fighting Illini take on the Michigan Wolverines. The broadcast starts at 6 on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along.
Boy, do I have a story for this guy. I have... It's like this actually happened, but it was like custom made for this show, and it has a warning for this guy right here, John Londoff. Everybody,
I'm still trying to get a hold of him.
Well, that sounds unprofessional and awkward.
I know.
Introduce him, and he's not there.
I know. He said to call him in his office, and it keeps going to voicemail.
Well, he's the boss. For right now, he's the boss. There's a story in the news, though, that I cannot wait
to share. I can imitate Frank if you want.
Be careful, Tim. You might lose your job. Well, wait a minute.
Hey, Frank.
Okay. Hey. Hi, John. John, how are you?
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Sounds like Bullwinkle Moose.
Yeah. Wow, I bet you missed duck season, John.
And you know how it goes, Frank. Sometimes I like to hit the ducks, and sometimes I like to hit the moose. And recently, he's been hitting the ducks.
Okay, you know what? If you weren't leaving tomorrow, you would be fired. You would have lost your job right there with that Bullwinkle impression of John Londoff.
Hey, homie, I'm bidding in line.
Please, let's hope he's not listening. Yeah, bidding in line.
I can't tell so fast sometimes when we're even not here.
John, I'd just like you to know that I'm not doing an impersonation, so...
Me either, John. My name is Frank, and I have nothing to do with any of this, and neither does Limey, and Dan sort of participated. It's almost all on Tim, so if you want Tim removed from the station, call the owner, and I can promise you he'll see to it that tomorrow is Tim's last day.
That's the kind of clout advertisers have.
What?
I just talked to him on his cell phone. He said, call me back in his office.
This is great.
No other show is as unprofessional as this. No, I'm serious. That's what makes it great. I think that's what makes it great. Nothing professional about it. Nothing prepared. Nothing planned. Nothing actually goes right. But it's the
I got
way
him.
Life goes. Well, let's see if you have him. John, are you there?
Frankie.
Yes,
how
Johnny.
Are you?
I'm
are
terrific.
You
I'm terrific. I'm glad we finally.
I'm so sorry.
What are you sorry for? Yes, well, you're forgiven. Now listen.
You had to track me down. I was in a meeting. It's been a busy day today.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Frank.
Okay, John. John, apology accepted. Listen, I have a news story. There's a story in the news, an actual legitimate story, and it's something I want to share with you because this could save your leg. Now, I don't know if you know this story or not. There's a former Louisiana State University offensive lineman. He went duck hunting with some buddies on December 28th in Mississippi. Wait till you hear this. This has actually happened before, but this one I thought of you because you're a duck hunter. Here's the story. This guy went with a group of friends on their annual deer duck hunt trip in Mississippi, December 28th. They were on a piece of land farmed by some family members. He was with his best friends and a couple other people. And that morning was a perfect morning. Everybody's ready to go hunting. Everybody's excited. He says about 9:40, he and two other guys were standing around the bed of a Polaris, one of those hunting vehicles. It has a bed, like a truck bed. He laid his shotgun down flat in the bed. One of the dogs, what's your new dog's name? Drake? Is that his name?
Drake. Yes, sir.
Okay. This is not the dog's fault, by the way. The tailgate's down. His dog jumps in the truck, steps on the trigger of the shotgun, which was not on safety and was chambered. It goes off, shoots this guy in the leg, and he had to have his leg amputated. His dog shot him in the leg. And now he has an amputated leg. Now here's the takeaway on this story.
It's just terrible.
This guy was an irresponsible gun owner. You do not put a shotgun in the bed of a truck or anywhere else that's loaded and ready to fire. You don't do that.
You never, ever, ever. You know, even in, you know, like upland hunting, when you're walking upland fields for pheasant, you unload, you walk the field, you've got blockers, you've got people on the wing. When you're done walking that field, you're going to go to another field, you unload your gun. Some guys will pull the bullet that's in the chamber, and they'll pull it out, and they'll put it sideways. Man, you got to unload your gun at all times, and you got to check it. I cannot tell you how many times, if I'm hunting in the blind, duck hunting for 3 hours, I bet I check and look at my safety 20 times. You know, and I fancy myself as a very safe hunter, but I'm always double-checking myself. I'm always making sure.
Here's the part of the story I don't buy, though, and this is his version, and I'm telling you right now, it reeks of BS. He says that the dog, when the dog jumped up into the bed of this thing, this Polaris vehicle thing, that the dog stepped on the safety and pulled the trigger. I'm calling BS on that. This guy forgot to put the safety on. Doesn't matter. It shouldn't have had one in the chamber anyway. It shouldn't have been ready to fire. But he says the dog hit the safety and the trigger. No, the dog hit the trigger. The guy didn't have the safety on.
I'm sorry to the guy. You know, I mean, that's very sad. That's terrible. And don't blame a dog. Are you kidding me? That's like sacrilege. You don't blame your dog.
How do you feel about this part? This is obviously just irresponsible gun ownership, but now he has a GoFundMe page. He wants people to pay all of his expenses for his amputation, I guess for his new titanium leg or whatever. I'm a big fan of GoFundMe. I think GoFundMe is a great idea and a great way for people to help people, but should people have to pay? And they will. They will. They'll contribute a lot of money to pay the expenses of a guy who did something, quite frankly, pretty stupid for a hunter.
I mean, it's sad, but you never leave your shotgun ever loaded, you know, and it's in the blind. And there's another thing, when you're in a duck blind, you got your hand, you're close to your gun, and you don't let it, you know, fall. Some guys have been known to, if we have a wooden, you know, trays on the front of the blind with a notch, and that's where your barrel goes. And I mean, you got to almost kick, you know, that gun for it to fall, you know, out of that gun holder, because you want to be safe. Because you never know. Even with the safety, it's still a piece of machinery. It could still fail. And if you've got a shotgun that's loaded, and for example, our Benelli's have a 3.5-inch shell. That's dangerous. That's called reach out and touch them shell. Okay, it's not a 3-inch. It's not a 2 3/4. It's a 3.5-inch shell, and you got to be careful. You've just got to be very careful. You always got to be thinking about safety. And then I'm even watching people that I'm hunting with. And if I hear someone that's in my blind with me and the birds aren't yet committed and I hear click and it's their safety and I can be blowing a duck call, I'll say, put your safety back on. Oh, okay. And then I'll say later on, I'll say, all right, don't do that, man. I mean, there's only one time when you bring that shotgun up to your shoulder and you're getting in your sights, that's when you take your safety off and that's when you pull the trigger. That's safety first, because there are times when you got your gun up but the birds don't commit, and there's someone that might have put a safety off and he forgets to put it back on. There is the problem. There's danger. So safety first, Frank, and I know you're a man of safety.
Well, here's the other thing. I've had guns since the age of 12. My first gun I owned when I was 12 years old. It was my gun in my room and the nightstand, and I go shoot it every weekend. And I know by today's standards, ooh, a 12-year-old with a gun. I have shotguns. I have handguns. I have never, ever had a gun go off. And I've handled guns since I was 12. And when I hear these stories about, you know, some kid gets killed because daddy left the gun in the drawer in the bedroom and it was loaded, I got to tell you something. I can't even relate to that because I've never. Have you ever had a gun actually discharge and go off on you accidentally?
Not me, no.
No.
That would scare me to death.
Yeah.
No, it never has happened. And I honestly, I didn't start hunting until I went to school in Texas. So I was 18 years of age. A lot of the guys that I hunt with have been hunting since they were, 9 and 10. Like my sons. The four boys, the ones that loved to hunt the most, Sam and Harry. And on my wall in my office, I've got two mallard drakes, one that was shot and harvested by Sam, the older brother, at the age of 10, and then Harry had one up him. He did. This is when he was 9, almost 10, but still. And they're like, hey, how come we can't have those ducks, mate? Because those mean so much to me because I passed on this passion that I have. But in that passion is safety. It's always safety. It's always about being safe. And that's why I'll tell you right now, here at Johnny Lawn Dog Chevrolet, Frank, if we can segue, because this is a spot about automobiles, and I do appreciate the safety, and it's sad about the guy getting shot off, but we're safe here at Johnny Lawn Dog Chevrolet. We're safe making sure that we make transportation dreams come true every day. And here we are. We're picking up another minute of sunlight today. And in another minute tomorrow, can you notice it already? Can you almost start feeling it? I know it's cold. Mm-hmm. We're talking about maybe some snow.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting through what we call the dog days of winter. You talk about some days to come in and get a great deal. Woo! I'm telling you one thing, Mr. Safety, Mr. Frank Opinion. This is the place to come. This is the time for your AM and the PM listeners who we love. I'm telling you with a capital LOVE. We love the AM and the PM crowd.
Now, a lot of times, too, when there's a snow, it prompts people who've always wanted a 4x4 or, some they've never really. And then sometimes when it snows, they go, that's it. I couldn't get out of the driveway again. And sometimes that drives them in. So they need to know you have plenty of vehicles capable of getting through the snow.
So how sad is it? I haven't been able to keep up with what's going on with Sears, but Can you believe it? I mean, here's Sears. I mean, when you think about it, you think about, what about TWA? I'm old enough to remember when TWA, and this time they were king. And there's a guy by the name of Carl Icahn. Destroyed TWA. Destroyed. Yep. It was the beginning of really hurting our great city. But a good thing we have a family like the Taylor family and Enterprise. The Enterprise Center. I mean, they might put St. Louis on their backs and bring it back to where it should be. But that's terrible. Sears going down.
Yeah, but it is terrible. But the Sears thing doesn't surprise me because brick and mortar stores, lots of them, more to come, are falling away to Amazon and people shopping online. It's just the way it is. It's sort of like when Walmart came along. Walmart's horrible. It's putting a lot of little businesses out of business. Well, it also put a lot of people to work, employed a lot of people, saved some people money. So, sometimes there's the good and the bad. And the bad is the name that many of us, for years and years and years, we had Sears products all over our house. I mean, the lawnmower came from Sears. The washer and dryer came from Sears. The vacuum cleaner came from Sears. Yeah, everything. No, you're right. At one point, almost everything in the house did come from Sears.
And they had a catalog, too, that you get in the mail.
Oh, big catalog. Sears catalog. Huge.
What about encyclopedias? I remember, when I was young, and then, in the middle school, and I mean, I lived in a pretty cool room of our house. I don't know what you'd even call it now. It was like the formal sitting room, okay, where my mom's friends, my dad's friends would come in before they went out to dinner and have a little drink or something. So that's where our encyclopedias were. Yeah. I can envision myself right now playing there, and I was probably asking one of my sisters, can you explain this to me?
Well, I have to tell you something. You had encyclopedias? I did not know but one family who had the money to have a set of. They had World Book encyclopedias, and there was the Rossmeyers. And for homework, I'd have to call Mrs. Rossmeyer and ask her, could I come over and for an hour study and use their encyclopedias? I'm not kidding. And we did it, and I used to think, wow, I can't believe they have an entire set. And didn't they every year add a book or something to, like, update things? Didn't they come out with, like, a new encyclopedia or something?
They come to your house and try to upsell you, and they might even take the ones back that you had and that we sell those
yeah.
as used. Hey,
and they weren't cheap.
Oh, no. But I wonder if anyone, if any of your listeners going to say, yeah, I still have a, you know, a stack of books of encyclopedia. Do you read much, Frank?
No. I read snippets, articles, short. I don't read lengthy, big, thick books. I read lots of little giblets of stuff. But
so
no.
Every one of my family that comes, Mimi is just, I mean, she just loves to read. And she, you know, we have a library in the, up in the house, second floor. And I mean, all the boys love to read, and they're just, their comprehension is unbelievable. So I'm like, you know what, lazy old tubby guy, I'm talking about myself, not you. I said, come on, how about let's get back into reading. So I'm reading, I'm almost finished with a book, Eric Idle. Okay, it's a sort of biography is what he calls it. You know, he's one of the key members of Monty Python.
Monty Python, right.
Oh my God, that's so, and I mean, you know, Mimi's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, it's funny. Because I remember watching when it was on PBS late night on Sunday, and, you know, they were, I mean, obviously, there was a little bit of nudity and a little bit of vulgarity, but not what? Much. It was just funny. Funny. They were just, they're still hilarious. John Cleese, Eric Idle, and on and on and on. But, so yeah, I'm getting back into reading. But you know what? But I want your great...
Yeah, here's what. You jumped on me because I was talking about a duck hunting accident trying to help save your life, and you said, well, we're here to sell cars. And then what do? You start talking about reading an Eric Idle book. That's not selling cars either. So there. There you go.
So you're like giving it right back to me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Frank, we're here to sell cars. We're in the car selling business. And then you go off on this thing. By the way, I've never found Monty Python funny. I'm sorry. I don't get them. I never did get them. No.
Absolutely hilarious.
Oh, I think it's hilarious.
Well, listen to the British guy.
You don't think the movie, well, The Holy Grail, is funny?
Maybe there are scenes scenes that are funny, like the guy that gets his arms and legs cut off or whatever it was. That's
the,
a funny
Black
scene.
Knight.
But on the whole, the thing's not funny. It's just, it's long and it's not that funny.
Oh,
me.
I thought it was, the bring whole thing was hysterical.
Bring out your dead.
But I'm not dead yet. How about when he goes, the Frenchman up in the, I was up there. I'll fart in your general direction.
I'm not laughing.
I don't know how old the long-up boys were, but I think Timmy was probably 5, maybe. Okay, and we were down there, and we're watching, you know, and it's, you know, and here comes Mimi and the I'll fart in your general direction. And we're giggling. I mean, I'm tearing up. Timmy lined up. That's all he said for the next probably like 6 months. I thought, and your general direction.
You know what? I just introduced my grandson to, and he thinks it's hysterical. The Three Stooges. I said, "Have you ever seen Three Stooges?" He goes, "What's that?" So I went and pulled up on demand some Three Stooges. He's 5 years old. He's laughing so hard, and I didn't realize he'd never seen them. So I take great pride in the fact that I got him into the Three Stooges. Do you think they're funny?
Hilarious. Yeah. I used to get yelled at all the time by my mom, my sister Linda, because I would be late, you know, to walk across the street to go to Belnor Grade School in beautiful Normandy, Missouri. You know what I was watching? I was watching The Three Stooges on Channel 11.
And yeah, why, Diane?
How do you get ready for elementary school? Laugh, okay?
Yeah. How do you get ready for anything? Laugh. Watch The Three Stooges. You'll be in a good mood. And that, it's funny to me, most everything has been sort of duplicated or another version of it. We've never had any act, anybody like The Three Stooges that did anything like what they did, because today it wouldn't fly, because they'd say kids would put each other's eyes out. They'd take a wrench and twist your nose or put some of your hand in a vice. You couldn't do it. But when you watch it, it is still hilarious to me.
Half a can of Panistan.
Anacanarana.
And then, the theme music before each segment.
Mo Larry Cheese. Come on, you kidding me? Oh my God. So listen, one of my favorite websites, and I know it's yours too, is lawndoff.com.
Oh, it is. lawnup.com.
I hear your wife tells me you go to sleep at night checking out the cars on lawnup.com. That means
that's
so much
exactly
to me,
Frank. Right.
Yep, or call us at 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. And thank
sound
you.
Sound like Lawrence Welk.
Well, you know, now let's get back to the show now, Frankie. And have a great rest of your show.
Great.
And I'll be
okay,
out in the car in about 40 to 45 minutes and listening to the end of the show.
All right, we'll be there for you, and we're sending you a lot of all the business you can handle.
Was Mike Evans off a little bit yesterday?
He's off most days.
See you, kids. Bye, Frank.
Okay, bye. There's John. No, it's true. I don't know even why. We're watching something, and my grandson's, I thought, well, if he's laughing at that, he needs to see the Three Stooges. And even at five, he doesn't get a lot of, but everybody, even kids, will get, oh, wise guy, eh? And it's the same shtick over and over. Somebody gets his nose twisted, he pokes his eyes, he hits him on the head, and when they drop like a wrench on their head, that boing, that sound, oh my goodness, it's hysterical because it's so ridiculous. If you dropped a big wrench on a guy's head, kill him. And they just kind of, and then go on with their business. No blood, no concussions. Nobody goes to the hospital. It is beyond ridiculous, but it's so ridiculous, it's funny.
Or the wrench is dented.
when they look at it. Exactly. Now I believe it's time for some theme music for Dr. Doug Perico. There it is.
I have an email question for Dr. Doug, too. It's a guy
that
only listens to the podcast. He can't listen live.
Well, we'll be happy to accommodate it and take care of that email. But first, I need to give the phone numbers. The phone numbers are 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. Dr. Doug Pernikoff is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues, the preferred window of Paul. And if you want to know more about this tremendous value, this great product, go to windowworldstlouis.com. Once again, the numbers you need to call right now, folks, we're going to scoot right on by this segment, go to something else, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Say hello to your pet's best friend and the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Hey, doing terrific, Doctor. How are you?
I am AMS. Look, Mo the Goon. You remember that one?
See, another Stooges fan. Now, see, I can't quote any Stooges episode because I don't really know the episodes. I just know that the few of them I've seen, I always laughed. I always thought it was funny. And you know, I'm not sure why, because think about what they're doing. They're potentially really hurting each other. And it's an interesting kind of humor. I don't know why it's so funny, but it is.
Well, it's just kind of slapstick. But, when I came back from college, I remember how I looked at him again because I grew up with him, and I thought, wow, this is so aggressive. It was kind of weird. But you're right. People still love it, and it's a good thing.
Not my wife. No, my wife has never, never laughed at the Stooges. She doesn't think it's funny. She'll say, and I don't watch them much and certainly haven't seen all of them, but the few times that I've been watching them and she hears me laughing, she walks in and she'll look at it for a minute or two, and she goes, I don't even know why you think that's funny. She says, that's not funny. It is. Yes, it is. She's wrong. Maybe not to her, but that's the hell I live in, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready?
I am.
Do you want me to read the email first?
Sure.
Or go to
we can start. We can start there.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Email.
Okay, this is from a guy named Dan. He has a kitten. He got it a couple months ago. It's about 6 months old, and he says that this kitten sneezes continuously. Not all the time, but when it does, it'll go 15 to 20 times. And then it won't do it for a couple of weeks, and then it does it again, and he said most of the time it's dry sneezes, but every once in a while it gets a little mucus or something in there. He said he took it to the vet, and the vet gave him, set us up with, let's see, it's ENISYLF.
Mm-hmm.
Enzyl philazine or something.
Yes.
Bites.
Yeah.
He said the cats stopped taking those. They won't take them. But he was wondering what to do.
Yeah, so a lot of these kittens, and I used to do a lot of rescue for the cats too, and the problem with them is that they can harbor some viruses that, you know, aren't typically concerning in terms of life-threatening or such, but they can be chronic and recurring. So one is a herpes virus, and like most herpes viruses, wherever they live, whatever organ system, they tend to just hide and just come back when there's a little bit of stress. They'll kind of resurface. So that's one possibility, but there are other respiratory viruses that can be at play, and a lot of times you got to give them some time to get a little more mature, and they'll grow out of those episodes. Make sure that they don't get any ulcers around their eyes or nose, and manage them. Some people give them, besides the Enacil you mentioned, is used to kind of stimulate their immune system. And then a lot of people put them on an antibiotic like doxycycline or something and kind of ride the course. In the worst cases where they really start to get a lot of mucus, especially that thick stuff, you want to keep them on a good antibiotic, make sure they're not getting into a pneumonia.
And that's what he said. His vet said that it was the cat's immune system and he'll grow out of it. But.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the most common. But again, some of them can get really bad, so he's got to keep an eye on it. And, yeah, it's a bit of a nuisance, but it's a management issue. Okay?
Okay, that was for Dan.
All right, Dan, there's your answer. Let's go to the phones. John, you're up first with Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Welcome to 590 The Fan.
Well, thank you very much, Frank. AM and the PM as always.
Is this John in Texas?
No, this is John in downtown St. Louis right now.
Okay, all right, we'll take it. What do you got for the doc?
Okay, first of all,
I thought it was John Warnoff.
No.
Sounded like him.
No, it doesn't sound anything like him. Wait, hold on. It doesn't sound anything like him. This guy's voice is a lot deeper than John's. No.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like John.
Voice, don't you think?
Well, okay. John doesn't. Landolf doesn't. That's why they don't sound alike.
Okay.
No, this guy does.
Poor John's trying to ask a question while you guys are arguing.
I'm sorry, John. You got in the middle of an argument. You started the argument by having that great voice you have. What is your question for Dr. Doug?
Well, thank you very much for the compliment, but let me start off with a little Stooges thing with a dog. Remember the one where they had the dog as the like a scout or whatever, and he peeks around the corner and he uses the tail to bring him forward and then the foot to pull him back. They couldn't understand what was going on. They kept going closer and then going back. He was watching a bunch of hot dogs being put on at bonds or something like that. Classic scene. Now, a few months ago, I called about a little Yorkie who was he would just devour his food and then he seemed to always be constantly hungry. Well, you suggested maybe a higher protein diet, whatever. It's worked. However, now, being the fact that the dog's about 15 years old,
yeah.
I was told that the dog, you know, Yorkies have little problems with their teeth. We put the bowl down of food, and he eats in the kennel because the other dog would just eat it up. He doesn't eat anything now. He pushes the food out of the bowl. What can we do to sustain his diet?
He's literally not eating a thing, or he's just eating a lot less.
He eats a lot less. Then all of a sudden, about 3 hours later, he cries, and then we put it out there. He'll eat a couple of bites, and that's about it.
Okay, so the first thing to do at 15 years of age and make sure he doesn't have something underlying like a kidney problem or something else that's going to make his appetite go away. So okay. A little blood exam and a physical exam by your vet would be totally appropriate. And then there is a product that I'm just having a brain fart there for a minute, but there is a product that your vet can give you that stimulates appetite, where they use it in humans and they also use it in pets. And like I said, it's just escaping me, but you should ask him for that. And
okay.
That would be a reasonable thing to do too, but first, if it was me, I'd want to get some blood work and make sure that you don't have something that's brewing that's going to, you know, deter his appetite. And
gotcha.
And start with that. In the meanwhile, if you can't get to the vet right away, you might try little bits of diced up fresh chicken breast and maybe a little bit you know, you could use some kind of gravy material or even a little chicken broth. But if he has kidney problems and you're giving him too much salt, that could be a problem, or a heart problem. So you got a lot of reasons. It's wonderful to have a 15-year-old dog, but you probably should follow up and make sure
okay.
you understand what you're facing. Okay?
Great. Thank you. And one last thing.
You.
Tim, good luck in your career.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, John. Good night. Good night. Well, I guess it's almost evening, I guess. When somebody hangs up, folks, a line opens up, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Sheila is next. Sheila, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, Sheila. How are you?
Thank you. I'm blessed. I have called before. I have five rescue doggies, and I am disabled. I'm really bad down now. My disease is out of remission, and so I'm actually in like a scooter. But whenever the thing of it is that I'm home now, pretty well homebound. But if I do leave, my dogs get so anxious that they jump on me, and I'm afraid they're going to knock me down when I'm using my walker, you know, because I usually try to come in my walker. But, you know, four of them are 50 pounds, 55 maybe, and then, of course, the one that bites and is the loudest is a Havanese, and so she's just, you know, annoying as ever. But I'm trying to teach them, you know, to not. But is there any kind of way to do this like really quick? You know, I mean, I don't want to. You know, you see these dog training things where you know you get that like collar and they jerk them real hard. Well, I don't want to do that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm trying to understand what are you concerned about, the anxiety when you leave the house?
Yes.
Get all, okay.
And then, what they'll eat my pillows, but that's beside the point. I can mend it. But it's just the coming home that they just go absolutely insane to where.
Don't come home. Don't come home.
Sometimes I don't want to. No, but especially because I have a pit bull and she's really bossy, and she's just she just gets so excited that I'm just. But
well,
they don't, you know,
gonna...
she doesn't fight them or nothing. It's just she's just, you know how they are. They jump and they lick and they lick and they jump, and they're just such a happy dog that, you know, it's just crazy.
Well, it's going to be a little bit difficult.
Do you think of anything special that I can do?
Yeah, one thing I think. I'm sorry, somebody was trying to say something on the radio.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So what I would suggest is that you either try some Benadryl, would be simple, and talk to your veterinarian about this, but it's very safe.
I give them that.
Well,
they have allergies.
Well, make sure you dose them correctly, because for what you're trying to do, it might be a different dose than what your vet's trying to do with allergies. Not the number one drug for allergies, by the way, but can be useful. And then the other thing is they do have products like Prozac and Clomacom and a whole bunch of other new compounds that help animals kind of relax or take away that anxiety, so that when you get home, you may not get as dramatic a response. But again, you know, dogs love when their owners come home. And
well, you know, I was thinking that's a good idea, because I have the medicinal marijuana card. I live in Illinois, and they sell like doggy biscuits laced with pot, you know, so maybe I can toss down five biscuits and they can be busy eating that, and then they'll be so stoned that they won't even pay attention.
You could try that. Save a few of those for me, too, if you don't mind.
Goodness, I can't believe I just said that. But anyway, I'm AM and the PM. And
of course you are.
I was going to say, it's very interesting. In the state of California, which we know is legal for human use, it's still not legal for veterinary use. And I've read articles that state that if a veterinarian even suggests using the CBD or whatever product is available, it could be considered a felony charge.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so it's kind of bizarre, but I hear things like that all the time. Like, it's harder to put to create a dog food than it is to create a human food and get it approved for use, because there's just the lobby isn't there to support it. And that was very interesting, I thought.
But when you give the dogs marijuana biscuits, they look up and they say, "Hey, man, make me some pancakes."
From Road Trip. I love that movie.
Hey, old man.
Yeah, they'll be tearing into my stuff then in the drawers of all the chips or something.
Have you had your medicine already?
No, she hasn't.
Sheila?
No, I haven't given him any. No.
No, have you? Have you
had your pot? Have you had your pot today? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I've been doing
it. Take some more.
Every day, I every single day, I listen to you guys since I'm homebound. I mean, Frank, you guys, it's 3 to 6. Everybody knows that. Do not bother me between 3 and 6. And
beautiful.
I get whacked out of my mind stoned, and you guys are absolutely the more funny stoned.
So let me get this right. Our show is actually funny if you're stoned. We need to get the word out. Honest to goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
We've been trying to figure out how to get this show to be funny.
Well, can you get her address for me?
Get stoned, everybody. We're hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, that's definitely true.
All right, well, we're going to...
Good luck, Sheila.
I'm sorry about your condition. Can I ask what you have?
I have rheumatoid arthritis, and it's now in my bone marrow and my spine. Uh-oh. And my blood.
Oh, you don't sound old enough to have that. How old are you?
52.
Oh, no.
Actually, if you've got a second, I am the Sheila that went to Jamaica years ago, and I couldn't sing the Sara Lee commercial.
Oh, my goodness. That is a long time
forever.
Ago.
Oh, yeah. That was my second husband. I've been through, longer than another husband.
Dan, are you available?
Thank you for staying with us all this time. Wow.
Oh, you guys are awesome. I'm serious. Right. You make my day every day. And
thank you.
Yeah, it took me a while to get used to Limey. Sometimes I want to text them and say, respect Dan. But Tim is absolutely hilarious, and his sense of humor.
No, he's not.
So,
you talking about Tim Woodburn?
Yeah. It's that smart aleck dorkiness that's just hilarious.
Smart aleck dorkiness.
That says it all. That says it all. Smart aleck dork. I got a feeling maybe we should get you on the show when he leaves.
No kidding.
I think you should probably come in here.
I can get there. I'll tell you that much.
Bring some biscuits.
Bring some biscuits and head that scooter toward Kirkwood.
I'll get to the human ones then, but I can get to the human cookies or fudge.
We'll take the dog or the human. Sheila.
Marijuana coffee.
Really?
You are
a hoot to talk to. Yeah, thank you. You're a wonderful listener. We appreciate you. Thank you, Sheila. I'm not kidding. I think we found our new news person.
Marijuana right there. Coffee? Wow.
The stoned news at the top of the hour. With Sheila. She could just make it up and nobody would care. Karen's been holding and patient. Karen, well, first of all, a line opened, obviously, because Sheila hung up. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Karen, you're finally up. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hi. I promise I'm not giving any CBD oil to anybody.
Right.
Not too bad. Next caller.
Next caller, please.
Okay, so I have an 11-year-old golden doodle.
Uh-huh.
And he is not really able to hop up in the car anymore without our assistance. He's just getting big and old. And so we need to get him groomed, and we were looking for a mobile groomer, but nobody wants to do big dogs. Do you know of anybody in the West County area?
I don't specifically know, but I know there are mobile because I hear people all the time having them. I'm trying to think where you might just call some of the grooming shops in the area and say, look, I can't get out. Is there any way you could direct me to a mobile groomer that would do big-sized dogs? And I bet that would be the easiest, best way to find somebody. Or you could
the ones that I've Googled, they don't go up that. He's 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's the point of having a mobile? What's the point of having a mobile grooming business if you limit it to just certain dogs?
Exactly.
I don't know that I understand that. I don't get
that.
I
think
that's
what I'm saying.
It's just easier for them to manage the little dogs, especially in a small mobile grooming space. But I think that, you know, most of these big dogs, you know, they need, you can do a trim down one time that'll last a long, long time. And in other cases, they only need like a bathing unless it's a longer coat. So if it was
I bathe him at home by myself. That's not a problem. But he needs a haircut. And the issue is he just can't stand, you know, when he goes to the groomer, he's standing to get, you know, clipped, and then he won't lay down in a crate to dry. So my other option is just having him clip him and shampoo him, and then I'll just bring him straight home.
That's probably the smartest thing to do. And the other thing is you should talk to your veterinarian about getting him on. There's a whole collection of products that can help with that back. Some are injectables, some are, you know, oral. You got it.
Okay.
You can go the gamut.
Yeah, we put him on the Chewies, but that doesn't seem
well,
to be
Chewy,
helpful.
Well, the Chewy Dasiquin, that's not going to be enough. That's principally for the joint fluids and stuff. But you really want to talk about some of the stronger anti-inflammatories or pain medications. And they can be used together in combination. So talk to your veterinarian about something that would be useful, and then you might be able to get him in, get a good haircut. Maybe you only have to do it once every couple of months, but that'd be a lot easier for you and for the dog. Okay?
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. AM and
okay.
PM, guys.
Karen, thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening. George, it's your turn. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Dr. Doug, how are you?
Good. I'm pretty good. How are you, George?
Good. How are your sons doing in the music business?
You know, they're struggling, but they're sounding great. I love it.
Good, good. Yeah, I check them out every now and again, so I like their music.
Appreciate that.
I had a question for you. I got a Labradoodle. He's probably 14 months old. I think I talked to you about this earlier. But the sacs they get underneath their eyes, you know, it's like a black, you know, is it good to, like, scrape that stuff away? Or
you mean the waxy material that forms there, or
yeah, like in the corner of the eye towards the nose?
Oh yeah. That stuff, the little like early morning yuckies and stuff, you can go ahead and just take a moist soft wash rag and kind of gently get that material out. Now if you roll the lower lid down and over where you can look inside and see the pink tissue, if that's unusually red and not just a light pink, then you might have a mild conjunctivitis or irritation of that tissue.
Oh, no. I mean, there's nothing there as far as inflammation or anything like that.
Okay.
But I'm just saying it just forms like a black or a brown, you know, right at the corner of the eye, and it gets hard.
Sure.
You know, just
clean that out, tease it out, and then, you know, if it continues, you can talk to your veterinarian about either some kind of ointment or droplet that might help soften that material. And if it gets down where it's actually staining the hair coat along the ear, the base of the nose, then if you're careful, you can gently not bleach peroxide to kind of bleach it clear.
I just usually when I see it's, you know, every 2 or 3 days, you see a little spot there, and it probably helps him see, I would think, you know, to remove that. But I just want to get your advice on that, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, and more importantly, if you don't get rid of that material, it can harbor bacteria, and then you can get an infection. So you definitely want to stay on top of it.
What the heck was that?
That was my son. That was my son, Carter.
How old is Carter?
Carter is 9, and my oldest son is 11 and a half.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
All right. Frank, take care. And this is George with the cancer, and I'm doing well. I just had radiation today, and I feel great, and we'll knock it out.
Good. Stay with us. Thank you, George.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Your son was yelling AM in the PM. Thank you. We caught enough of it, buddy. We caught enough to know you're AM in the PM. We're going to run here, and I want to remind everybody, Dr. Doug is brought to you every week by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues, the preferred window of Paul. And you can go to windowworldstlouis.com to find out more. Doc, we'll do it again next week, okay?
Thank you so much. Be well, everybody.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. There you go. With the sunset. I'll take a moment here to address anybody who either right now is ready to remodel a kitchen or bathroom or will be maybe 6 months from now. Maybe it's a year from now. We've been talking about Thompson Price for 23 and a half years. This is the longest running sponsor we have. And over the course of 23 and a half years, I don't know the number of AM and the PM people who've had kitchens remodeled or bathrooms remodeled. It is significant, or they wouldn't still be on the air with us. It's not something you do maybe once in your life. I don't think most people remodel a kitchen, a bathroom twice. You might remodel a kitchen and then a bathroom, but I don't think people do kitchens maybe once in a lifetime. Two possibly. I don't know that we'll ever do it again. And the good news is we may not have to, because when they do it, it's done so well that unless you just tear the thing apart and abuse it, and you've got wild animals in your family, it's gonna last. It's gonna hold up, and it's gonna look great for a long time. Because when they remodel a kitchen or bathroom, they don't do it so it looks great for a year. Anybody could do that. You can get some schlub with a truck and some tools to come in there and for a fourth the price. Throw some paint on, replace a couple of cabinets or something, and go, hey, you got a brand new kitchen. No, you don't. You don't have a brand new remodeled kitchen at all. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a $5,000 kitchen. We're talking about something that is going to transform your house. And when you do a bathroom, same thing. Same thing with the bathroom. The two probably most important rooms in the house. Look, I know the room with the TV is an important room where you kick back and have popcorn and watch movies. I know that. But when people go to look at a house, especially the women, they look that kitchen over. They want to know, how is this going to be the kitchen for me and for our family? And then, of course, bathrooms. They're very picky about the bathrooms. Why don't you bring your house into 2019? They can do it. They do it every day. They're Thompson Price. Make sure the name Price is in at least one of the companies that you meet with, that you talk to, that you get a bid from. That's all we ask. Talk to anybody you want to, but include Thompson Price. You will know just in the process that you go through with them before they ever remove one thing from the old kitchen or bathroom. You'll know. You'll know they're as good as it gets. You'll get every dollar's worth. Showroom is in De Pere, less than a quarter mile east of 270. And, of course, they have a website. It's thompsonprice.com. Limey, you want me to just take it right up to the top
here? Yeah, if you could, that'd be great.
Yeah, because what I'd like to do here is I want to mention there's a story in the news, and we'll talk about it here in a few minutes in the Playhouse, that really, really disturbs me. And the sad thing is I don't think there's anything I can do about it. I'm gonna shoot an email up to Rochester, New York. I don't know that it'll do any good. I'm sure it won't. But this really bothers me, because what's happened to this meteorologist up in Rochester could happen to any one of us who's on the radio, who's on TV, and it is beyond unacceptable that this guy lost his job because he so obviously tripped up and misspoke and got ahead of himself and took part of a word and put it with another word. And the fact that this guy has been called a racist, if you don't know this story, you need to know it, because this is a perfect example of a company where this guy worked for 20 years on the air, not only not standing by him, but throwing him completely under the bus. It infuriates me, because this could cost somebody like me a job, could cost anybody on the air a job, and it is beyond ridiculous. It happened at the old station I worked at. Almost the same thing happened, and the guy got fired that day. And that was not right either. We'll tell you about it if you don't know in the Playhouse. Stay where you are. And a joke that I told Dan earlier I would tell. I hadn't planned on telling it, but it's the great memory joke. It's all coming up after the news. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Martin Kilcoyne. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com. St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Vice President Mike Pence is blaming Democrats for refusing to budge to end the partial government shutdown. Pence confirmed President Trump walked out of a meeting with congressional leaders when Nancy Pelosi flat out refused to give him money for a border wall if he ended the shutdown.
He asked Speaker Pelosi that if he opened things up quickly, if he reopened the government quickly,